Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for you. I thank God for the church. I thank God for what he's doing. You know, I know that what I said there might have rubbed some people the wrong way, and I assure you there's reasons behind what I say. Of course, in any given situation, any time that I stand in this pulpit, even if I'm allotted the full amount of time that I usually take, it's never enough time to fully explain any one point. And if you've ever ministered before, you'll know that there's always things that you wish you could expand on. There's always things you wish you could say further. Amen. And, you know, as a pastor, there's always a desire in my heart to connect with the people. There's always a desire in my heart to have a back and forth with the people, to have people ask questions, because a lot of times in those questions are birthed the revelation to the answers that we all need, amen? And so I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to our people and as they've drawn on the gift. Of course, I'm not speaking about me, but the gift of the pastor, which is separate from me, praise the Lord. But as they draw on that gift and they pull things out, I'm always so thankful for the things that come out. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's always a desire in my heart as a minister to be able to speak more about the things of God, to go into more detail. You know, as even when you write a faith fix or anything like that, we try to pour our whole hearts into it and try to say everything we can say in a short amount of time. And, you know, the thing is there's just never enough space. There's always more place to go. There's always more direction. And there's always things that you think that you say one way, but it sounds to other people a different way. Amen. And so that's one of the things about pastoring or preaching that is a very real thing to contend with. But as you're patient with me and I'm patient with you, I think we'll make it to the other side. God will bring perfection in our midst, praise the Lord, and not because any of us are perfect, but because he is. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called Jumping the Gun. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I will be honest with you that I put this message together before I found out that President Trump had deemed churches essential. Praise the Lord. Now, I am so thankful for that. If you still have a hard time, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you can have a hard time with the president, not like a lot of his policies, but that's at least one policy that you have to get on board with. Amen. That he wants to open the churches. It is imperative that we open the churches. The churches need to be open, but we need to do so right. You know, there's a lot of things, background stuff that happens. You know, a lot of people don't realize this. You know, my wife said recently, and I happen to agree with her, but anybody who opposes something hasn't had to make those decisions. Amen. You know, somebody who just, you know, it's so easy to have an opinion about things without knowing all the stuff that goes behind it. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people that show up to church. Some people are blessed to show up to church. They think they're blessed to show up even a few minutes late every week. Listen, be on time. It's not good to be late to church because you miss things. Amen. I don't know how many times we've had people, you know, figure they can miss out on the announcements, and they're asking us later, well, I didn't know about this. It's like, well, you weren't there for the announcement, so you didn't hear it. But you know, we don't just announce things because we want to. We only give out what we need to give out, praise the Lord. But, you know, it's important to show up. It's important to be listening. But when you get to, you know, when you can come to church 5 minutes before church service and you just sit there and you receive and everything's great, you might not realize that there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes to make church happen. Sometimes people see the pastor showing up even just a few minutes before service and they think, well, he wasn't doing anything. Well, I assure you, the only thing that I have to do with this church is not just when I preach. Amen. There's a lot of things that go into the behind the scenes to make sure that this happens. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so today's message was based in some scripture. You know, if you were able to join the Zoom meeting on Friday, I hope you were blessed by that, the last minute Zoom meeting. But you know, this message is along those lines. We're going to stay in those lines, but we're going to take it further. But we're also going to read some scripture that we're familiar with, and we're going to get in there and kind of dissect it more and see more of what God has, how he's connected with other things. So today's message, Jumping the Gun, why don't you turn with me to James 1:19? Of course, this is where we zoomed on Friday. Zoom at noon, praise the Lord. I sure hope that the Lord has me do that again, because I just like saying that, Zoom at noon, amen. It was fun. Praise the Lord. But it was fun getting into the Word, and it was fun seeing some of your faces. Glory to God. And I know, you know, people work and stuff like that and different things. But, you know, we do try to get things in the hands of people that are interested, though, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife talked about it on Wednesday, praise the Lord, when she did her morning devotional too. So isn't that exciting that the Lord just keeps leading us in this direction? Amen. So if you're found James 1:19, it says here, so then my brethren, or my beloved brethren, praise the Lord, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Wives, this is not a license for you to go to your husband and say, now listen, the Bible says that let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It doesn't say anything about the women, praise the Lord. But we know that this is referring to mankind. This means all those who are of the, praise the Lord, of every, it should be everybody in general, but this is at least all the people are of the faith. You notice there's some directions here, praise the Lord, but there's only one thing that we're told to be swift to do, and that's hear. Amen. Hearing is so important. Hearing is literally, you know, as it said here, is just simply to consider what is or what has been said. Amen. To think about it, not just to hear it, because a lot of people think they do good just by hearing it. If I just sit and hear it, well, then I've done good. But see, if you don't have an open heart to what you're hearing will never be planted. There will never be a seed that will grow, or it will be a seed, but it will never be planted in a place where it can grow. And so we have to allow that in. So we have to take this very important direction for us. Be swift to hear, and then you can sum up the last two points really in this, and that means slow to react. You know, so many people make mistakes because people don't listen. They make mistakes because they haven't heard. You know, one of the things that my wife has been dealing with in school, she runs some different things in school, a yearbook and stuff like that, and they've had a little bit of an issue with the yearbook. That for all year, they had been putting out these notices that said, you know, you have to get your yearbooks by this date. You have to sign up for it by this date. And see, there again, people who don't deal with details all the time, they think, well, why does it matter if I'm on time or not? Well, with that particular thing, they have to place an order and they have to know the exact number they need by a certain date. And so they get charged accordingly and all those things, you know, and praise the Lord. And so, what she's noticed is she finally sent out another message that said, you cannot order anymore, but if you have ordered, this is what you must do. And then all of a sudden she started getting a lot of emails about, hey, we didn't order a yearbook, but we want to. And she was saying, I'm sorry, but you're too late. And one of the things that came up in that conversation about this is that we don't have enough consequences anymore. And this reflects back to what I said about the church. See, there's not consequences about coming to church. Church is such a free thing that you can do it, or you can take it, or you can leave it. You can do it, or you don't have to do it. And because it's become that in America, there's no consequences to it. People just they don't really respect it anymore. They don't honor it anymore. It is honor to come to church a certain way. It is honor to come to church in the first place. Amen. There is honor that is bestowed on the Lord when you do that right. And so for us to just be lackadaisical about church and just not, you know, and about the things of God. Amen. But it's not just the things of God. It's everything in life. This is actually kind of, if you want to talk about pandemics, this is kind of a pandemic in our culture. The pandemic of no real consequences. And so people don't even listen to instruction. They don't hear what's been told. Now, why is this a problem as it refers to the church? The reason is because as the pastor gives instruction to the people, people don't always receive it as something that's important for their lives. Amen. They don't always, because there's not been any real consequences. You see, I can still, I can, in this country, I don't have to tithe and give to prosper. Right. You don't have to. I don't have to be faithful to God. I don't have to be faithful to God to prosper. I don't have to do these things because I can go out there and I can make my own way. I can get 15 jobs. I can get a real good job. I can pay a lot of money. Heck, all the billionaires in this, or most of the billionaires anyways that I know of, aren't even Christians. They're not even believers. And look at how they've prospered, you know. And so you don't necessarily need to do what God says to prosper. The Bible never says that. We've never preached that. But what the Bible does say is that to prosper God's way, you do need to do things even. To be blessed God's way, you do need to do things the way he says. If you want to be blessed by God, which includes all the things that you can't get in the world, then you have to do things God's way. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the problem is, you know, we have things like social media, which stir people along the lines of giving them an opinion, giving them a platform for their opinion. Everybody's had their opinions. There's no more opinions today than there ever was. But now we just have platforms for everybody's opinion. And why is this bad? Because people aren't slow, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. They jump right into the fast to speak and the fast to wrath. A lot of times, actually, people don't even people don't even listen to what's said, and they argue it from a point of view. Notice that if you watch the news or politics or anything, a politician will say one thing, and then everybody jumps on them. He's like, "Wait a minute, I didn't even say that." And they say, "Well, what do you mean you did?" So, you know, we've all seen that in movies. Cases where they tried to turn it, you know, they tried to manipulate what you said or say it in a certain way or take it out of context and make it sound like something else just to make you look bad. All that stuff is found in this. This is not the way Christians should be. This is a completely opposite of the way Christians should be. We need to be people who aren't so moved just by something. We need to hear, we need to analyze, we need to think about it. We need to take time in the Spirit to consider things. We need to be spiritual people. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, making decisions when we had internet trolls on there when we were, when they were harassing us about because we had a Tuesday service with 10 cars in the parking lot and 15 people in the building. Glory to God. But when they did that, we had internet trolls. Even after I posted a letter and it, that said specifically a lot of my thoughts, and the direction for the church on it, praise the Lord. We had people that were saying things that I said, they were saying that I said things I didn't even say. You know, one of them said that he hasn't talked to the president, he hasn't talked to the governor. Well, I never claimed to do those things. Amen. But see, people don't listen. They're quick to pounce on things. You know, my wife had family members that jumped on there and made, gave unhappy faces. Shoot, we had church members that got on there and had unhappy faces at what we were doing. And you know, the funny thing is that my wife, she had confronted a couple of these relatives and they didn't even know that it was our church. They didn't even pay attention to what it was. They just jumped on the bandwagon because it was a bandwagon, because it was something that was posted. My wife called them out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's just the thing. See, people are so quick to jump on things. They're so quick to do what they want to do and not listen and not attention. See, we need to be people that are different. If we want to be effective, if we're going to be different than the world, then we got to be different than the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love, you know, in verse 20, it says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And it says slow to wrath. And we know as we've been studying this scripture recently, we know that wrath simply means, I mean, it does mean anger, temper, and wrath, but it also means the natural disposition of a human. Amen. And so the natural disposition, which doesn't go against those other things, it's just more expansive. The natural disposition of the human is to just react. You see something, you react. You just give your opinion instead of. But the wisdom of God teaches us to draw that back and to consider it for a minute. You know, there's a lot of things that I had hardline stances on over the years that when I either experienced them myself or I found out the full. You know what one is? I always love using this example. One of the most famous examples of this of people just jumping on a bandwagon is the hot coffee at McDonald's. Anyone heard that about the lawsuit that someone sued for hot coffee? And everybody talks about how ridiculous it was. They talk about how this person should have never done that, and they should have known the hot coffee was hot because they ordered hot coffee. Amen. You know, I've been in that same exact boat. I argued those things and everything as well. And then one day I watched a documentary on that. It was really interesting. To make a long story short, not that I'm preaching about this, but the lawsuit that was brought up wasn't even brought up by the person who this happened to. It was brought up by an outside source. And the reason they brought up the lawsuit is because at the time, McDonald's had been purposely being negligent in these things. And what had happened was that somebody got hurt because of their purposeful negligence. Not because they ordered hot coffee, but because of the purposeful negligence. And when you go down and you hear the whole thing, it makes sense. Yeah, we need to have rules against stuff like that, that they can't just be purposefully negligent. You know what it means, purposefully negligent? When somebody, it was like if somebody says, you know, if they came to me and said, you know, your parking lot is very dangerous, somebody's going to get hurt, and I say, I don't care about that, let them figure it out. Now listen, that's an example of purposeful negligence. People would be mad. You know, if we knew that, that any moment that somebody walked in the door that the ceiling could fall on them and I just said, whatever, it doesn't matter. Well, we'll just wait till it happens to deal with it. That's purposeful negligence. You know, purposeful negligence isn't, well, I just couldn't do anything about it. Maybe I was told about it and I couldn't do anything about it. You know, purposeful negligence is not when it snows outside, you know, it gets icy. We do all our best to keep things, you know, swept and clean and snow plowed and shoveled and ice or de-iced and all that stuff. And then someone slips anyways. It's not purposeful negligence. Amen. And so the reason I bring these up is because we see how fast, especially with things like the internet and social media, people can get off into on a vein of things. They can run after something that isn't even righteous. And see, what the problem is when we're the people of light, the people of righteousness, and we act in a dark manner or an unrighteous manner, what we do is we hinder the flow of God. We show the world the side of us that they don't want to see. We push people further away from the gospel. And so it's very important for us not to be people who just jump the gun. You know that saying that you just jump? You know, one of the things I love about getting older is as I grow older, I'm getting more and more patient. My wife even said to me recently, and this surprised me, that she could say this, but she said, since I've been with you, I've seen more wisdom come into your life because of your the decision-making. You're getting older and you're learning things, amen? And that doesn't mean that I've arrived at all wisdom yet or anything like that, and she wasn't saying that, but what we're saying by that is I've learned that there's certain things that you just don't jump on. There's certain things that you wait. There's certain things, you know, Friday night when President said that, we were with some people from another church, glory to God, and we were taking care of some things, and we were talking about this, and you know, there was that, at first there was that excitement of, oh, well, let's just open church this Sunday, praise the Lord. But then the reality of it came, and when I was asked about it, my part, I said, you know, I'm going to take a minute and just seek the Lord. I'm going to take a minute and wait and see what I need to do. Not that God doesn't want us to have church, of course he does, but you know, and we're going to see that in the word here today as I preach, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We are to respond to the word. We are not to respond to just whatever is going on. Amen. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that in the life of our Lord. Praise the Lord. As we turn, let's turn with me to Luke 9:51. Praise God. Glory to God. We don't make decisions just because we have to. One of the things that I've learned about following God is this. If God needs you to make a decision quickly, he will make it very, very, very clear that it needs to happen, and it needs to happen quickly. You will not be able to get away from the understanding that you got to move. Amen? If God needs you to do something fast, he will make sure you know. Amen? But for most things in life, we do not, I said we do not need to move quickly. In fact, the greatest mistakes we'll make in life is when we move too fast. One of the tactics that car salesmen always use is you better buy it now, because if you don't buy it now, somebody else might. And they sell more cars by convincing people that this is the only deal they're going to find. When my wife went looking for her last car, she went looking. It took her almost a year, two years. It took her 2 years to find the car that she wanted. She did research, and we would go test drive. And then she would research, and we would go test drive. Then she'd research again, and we would go test drive. And we would even go into the dealerships, and much to their dismay, we would say, one of the first things we would say is, we are not buying a vehicle today. We are here to look at vehicles, because my wife is researching which one she wants, but she has not made that decision yet, and we are going to look around. And so we're going to test drive one here, but then we're going to go somewhere else and test drive one somewhere else. And she's going to make comparisons based on those test drives. In fact, one of the dealerships we went to, they were so sure of the car that they were having us test drive that they were excited to get us in it and to go out, they have us go out and take it for a test drive. And we did. And there was a lot of things about the vehicle that was nice, but there was a lot of things that weren't nice about it. And when I brought it back, much to the dismay of the salesman, when he asked me what I thought of it, I said the car was terrible. And he looked at me like, do you not know that this is a top-rated car and this and that and all blah, blah, blah? I don't really care. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that it drove. I didn't like the way that it rode. I didn't like the way that you looked out the mirror. There were so many things about it that we didn't like. So, but my point is that my wife made this, and actually in that process, I learned even a lot more. I learned a lot about how we do things and how it doesn't matter. You know, it takes all the pressure off of you when a salesman doesn't believe that you're going to buy that vehicle today. In fact, we had some that say, buy it or not, take it for a test drive, let me know what you think, blah, blah, blah. And those were the most peaceful moments. I had one guy who was convinced that no matter what I said, I was buying it anyways. But they wanted me to sign something. And I was like, I'm not signing nothing, I'm not buying this car today. And we liked the car, but we ended up liking another one better. But the point is that we can't move quickly. Salesmen want you to move quickly because they know just that. They know that if you have time to think about it, you might reason your way out of it. See, they don't care about the payments you make in 10 months or the payments or what the car does 10 months down the road. All they care about is getting the commission of you walking out the door with it that morning. Amen? And so the world puts pressure on people. God doesn't put pressure on people. And that's also why God doesn't lead that way. He wants us to be led by this still, small voice. He wants us to be slow to wrath, slow to speak, but quick to listen. When you get direction from God, what is it that we're... Do you know even the Cory Church? We didn't just jump on that the first minute we had a feeling. It took us several years before that first came to us, before we even decided to move on it. And when we moved on, it was the direction of God. And so we know that it was right. We know that we can be solid in what we do. Because not everything always looks like it works out in the moment when you move on things. But when you move in God's timing, when you do things God's way, it will always be a blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Nobody's been in financial trouble. I just can't get off of this stuff. Nobody's been in financial troubles that hasn't moved quickly. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. People make quick decisions. I remember I went when I was younger, when I first started having a family, I had a full-time job and I started, you know, I out on my own finally for the first time and I was doing all this stuff. I was, you know, went and got a car loan. I'm making enough money. I can do that. And then I got a loan for some furniture. I'm making enough money. I can do that. And then I got a loan for this and a loan for that. And pretty soon I got a credit card and because I could afford it all. But pretty soon I'm making payments and I'm in trouble. Pretty soon I'm up over my head in debt and I can't get out of it. Well, praise the Lord. And so these are things that I learned. And so after years and years and years, it took me years to finally go back and get a credit card because I didn't want anything to do with them. Because, and I've told my son, like with a credit card, I said, if you can't just go pay off that credit card, you have no business using one. If you're just using one to pay bills or you're using it because you think that you need to, that's the only way you might be able to do something, you have no business having it. Why? Because all it's going to do is cause you problems later on. Quick decisions, we don't think about them, we jump into things. And so when we're quick to follow the natural disposition, my desires, oh, I want this, I got to have it. There's been many times I've wanted many things over the years, but I've learned that the best way to do that is do them in God's timing. Amen. So praise the Lord. We have you found Luke 9:51. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll read through verse 56. Praise the Lord. Now it came to pass that when time had come for him, Jesus, to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, I love this. It said that, you know, and of course, this is referring back to even in Isaiah, it talked about this, that he set his flint toward Jerusalem. You know, the idea that Jesus was he was after Jerusalem. He was going there and nothing going to stop him. Amen. But it says that he steadfastly set his face there. I love the use of the word steadfastly because steadfastly always lets us know that it's something that you, you know, when you're steadfast, it's something you continually go after. It's not something that that you just, you know, look at once and you go after it and it's there, but you steadfastly go after it. Meaning, and we're going to see here in these scriptures that even the plan of God, now Jesus was 100% in the plan of God. He perfectly followed the Spirit of God. Amen. But even though he perfectly followed, listen to me, folks, even though he perfectly followed the plan of God for his life, there was still hindrances. There was still oppositions. There were still moments where it didn't come to pass exactly when he wanted it to come to pass. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that there is opposition out there. Just because there's hindrances doesn't mean that we won't get there. We have to steadfastly set our face towards it. The goals of God, amen, the plan of God. And he sent messengers before his face, praise the Lord. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. So he sends out his messengers ahead of, he's preparing. Notice this, he didn't just go run into the sea, set, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do, but now I'm going to send messengers to go out and prepare a place. Amen? That is so interesting that Jesus didn't just go, he sent somebody ahead of him to go prepare. Even God, when Jesus was coming, he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, amen? And so God will do that. He will. We need to prepare the way that we go. If you just jump in, you're going to get yourself in a heap of trouble. Jesus knew this. There would be opposition. There would be time in the wilderness that wasn't necessary. There would be times of lack where it wouldn't have been necessary. Jesus knew this, so he sent messengers to prepare the way, amen? Praise the Lord. But they did not receive him. So it was obviously God's plan that they go there, but they went there and the people didn't receive him. Well, praise God. Glory to God. They did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and he rebuked them. These people opposed, listen to this, these people opposed the plan of God. They opposed the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. They opposed what he was doing. Whatever the reason was, doesn't matter. The fact is, and they were in opposition. So much so that the disciples, their first thought is, let's call fire down from heaven. Just like Elijah did, we'll wipe all these people out. We'll teach you not to, or we'll teach you to stand in the way of our church service. We'll teach you to stand in the way of what we're doing. We'll teach you to stand in the way of the plan of God. See, people can think that they're righteous, but be acting completely carnal. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be slow to react. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the wrath of the natural disposition of man, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Amen. The quickness in your flesh, the desire in your flesh to just go conquer the world by storm, does not produce righteousness of God. We make decisions not based in the flesh, but based in the Spirit. Folks, this is the key to what walking in the Spirit is. He said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It says that in Galatians. If we're going to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We should walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You don't just jump on every train that comes running by you. You don't just jump on every bandwagon, amen? You look at it. You think about it. Before you post something on social media, you need to think about what you're saying. You need to think about what's connected to what you're saying. You need to think about the reactions to what you're saying. None of that is unspiritual. Actually, it's the hallmark of spirituality. You don't have to just react. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I love, we've always said this as parents. A lot of people will tell you how you should parent. But what's funny about that is it's almost always people that have never parented. You should do this or you should do that. Now, I don't just look at people who have parented when I take advice from people, but I also look at how they parented. I looked at the outcome. If they have grown kids, what happened with their kids? Listen, if you have grown kids that don't live right, I'm probably not taking much advice from you unless your advice is don't do this because this is what they'll do. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna take that advice. We watch these things all the time. I don't care how spiritual a person seems to be. If their kids don't live right, I have a hard time following that advice. Now, listen, I'm not saying that people are bad or that every time a kid lives right, it's just the parent's fault, because that's not necessarily true either. But what I'm saying is we consider all things, and that's why I would be slow to even make that decision when it comes to somebody saying something to me. Because they could be saying something from a place of wisdom or by the Spirit of God, and I would miss it if I wasn't paying attention. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it's not just about that, but it's about pastoring a church. Do you know how much advice pastors get on pastoring a church from people who have never pastored churches? I cannot tell you, well, we should do this. We should do that. Well, you should do this with that person. I've had people tell me that several times with several different people, that I should be differently than I am towards that person, or the way that they perceive I should be towards that person. And I've had that person turn around and bite me for doing just that. See, I've learned something, but people out there in the world, they think, well, this is what you should do. And there's, you know, a lot of people say, well, the CEOs, they should do this, or the bosses, they should do this. How many companies have you run? Praise the Lord. One thing I learned about restaurants and the restaurant business or any business is that if you have a business, everybody has advice on how you should do it. Now, listen, it matters if that person comes from a place of knowledge, but that's why you are quick to hear. It's slow to speak. You listen to it. But the people who are speaking should be slow to speak too, because if they're people that don't know, like, listen, if you just go to a restaurant, that doesn't mean it gives you the right to be able to know how to run a restaurant, because there's a lot of things that go behind the scenes. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Or any other business for that matter. Glory to God. You know, people have all kinds of advice on what to do. It's just like, people getting mad at the store owners for making them wear making people wear masks and stuff like that. Do you have any idea the amount of pressure that these stores are under to follow everything like to the T? And if they don't, there are even legal ramifications sometimes which can close the business down completely. Don't complain about the store owners. Amen? Yeah, churches, don't complain about these things. Like, listen, we could just open. We could have just stayed open the whole time. But I'll give you an example. How many people are we going to reach or how many people are we going to keep? Both of those things, if the state troopers decide to come in here and shut us down and lead us out by gunpoint. How many people are... Now, it's different if it's actual persecution against the church. If I have a justified reason for staying, then I can stand on that. But if I don't have a justification for doing so, then what I become is foolish. I become like the rest of the world, knee-jerk reactions, jumping the gun, doing whatever I want to do because I want to do it. Bless God. And I've seen preachers doing this. I've seen preachers out there doing this and then turning around the next week and going right back in line with what they've been told after they've been arrested or things like that. That's not what I want to do. There was something that came out on a church Facebook page even, and I said to my wife when it came out, I said, oh, that's a bit premature to be saying that, and as it turned out, it was. See, we don't just act because we act or because we can. We act when we know how to act right. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you again, I want to reiterate this. This message was not prepared after those decisions or after the president said this. I had this sermon beforehand. Amen. And so that's just the Spirit of God dealing with us and teaching us how to do things. Amen. Glory to God. I don't even know where we were. Oh, I remember here. He says, do we want us to command fire down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Praise the Lord. They moved on to a different village. Glory to God. Jesus came to save lives. When we're Christians who are hell-bent on what we want to do, when we are just after, when we're just so on fire for what we're so zealous for what we think we need to do, and we forget about everyone around us, and I'm not just talking about church, having church, but I'm talking about everything we do in life. Listen, if you live anywhere, you have a neighbor. You need to consider your neighbors and what you do. If your music too loud. I tell my kids all the time, my kids will be out, it'll be even maybe an evening, a nice evening, and we have a bunch of kids over. I'm like, listen, we have neighbors. We're not running around screaming all night long. It's just we're not going to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're not going to be blasting music all night long. Why? Because we're considerate of other people. Amen? We need to think about other people. This is really the hallmark of Christianity, and this is what love really is, that we just don't pounce on everything, that we make decisions based and we respond according to the word, not according to our flesh or our ideas of how we think things should be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 10:16 says, and I just want you to hear this. Amen. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen? I was reading about in this in the Dakes, about this in the Dakes, because I don't really know the life of serpents or what they do. But what Dakes said about this was quite interesting. Dakes, if you didn't know, is a commentary, praise the Lord, giving you background of different things, you know, traditions and stuff like that. But in Dakes, it says, serpents never unduly expose themselves to attack, and doves never provoke hostility. Amen. Jesus told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Never provoke hostility. If what you're doing or what you're saying is provoking hostility, it is not of God. Ouch. Hallelujah. If what you are doing or what you are saying is provoking hostility, it is not of God. Amen. You need to consider what you're saying. That's why, you know, my natural bent is to listen to, I like to listen to contentious things. I like to listen to contention on things like YouTube. I would watch different shows and talk show hosts that would say things that I agree with but are contentious, and I'd get a kick out of it, and I would sit there and get riled up by it. But as I found, according to the scripture, that's not right. It's not right for them to do it. And a lot of these people call themselves Christians, but they're not acting like Christians, because the Bible has not called us to be hostile towards everyone. And if we are being hostile, we are out of the will and plan of God. Amen. Serpents, be wise as serpents. They never unduly expose themselves. Why would a serpent not expose themselves? Now, a serpent can be a dangerous thing. Amen? But when it says be wise as serpents, it means that you got to think about this from that standpoint, that maybe you are stronger, maybe you are more able. But a serpent would know this, according to this, not every serpent is thinking about this, but they would know this. In this context, praise the Lord, they would know that they're not the biggest fish in the sea. They're not the biggest snake in the grass. They're not the biggest thing. They're not the top of the food chain, so to speak. That there's always somebody, you know, that's something I was taught as I was growing up. There's always somebody bigger. There's always somebody better. Amen. That's a good thing to know. You're not the best. There's always somebody that can beat you. Remember Mike Tyson? I mean, when I was growing up, Mike Tyson was like, he was unstoppable, man. He was the man with the plan. He'd get up there and he would fight and he would destroy his opponents in sometimes seconds. He would just, in the first round most of the time, he would just destroy them. And he just went on like this and on like this and on like this. And I just remember always hearing about him and thinking, man, and we used to even have jokes, different jokes and sayings about, you know, if Mike Tyson was doing this or Mike Tyson, those type of thing. I don't even remember what they were, but I remember we using his name. It was part of our culture, our pop culture at the time. Amen. And we talked about him all the time. But, you know, finally somebody came along and beat him. Why? Because he wasn't always going to be the best and always be the biggest. And if nothing else, he wasn't always going to be the biggest. Amen. And so somebody eventually is going to be able to take you out. Now, see, that's the thing about even being the best is you're not the best forever. Glory to God, and I think that's by design. But a snake would know this. A serpent knows that it's not wise to unduly expose themselves. That when they need prey, then they go after it. When they need food, they go after it. When it's time to strike, then they do. But you even notice if you walk through the woods. I mean, I've still not come across a rattlesnake, even though I've walked in many woods where rattlesnakes surely live. Why is that? Because they don't unduly expose themselves. Christians, we shouldn't be unduly exposing ourselves. We shouldn't be laying our lives out there for us to be attacked. We shouldn't be laying our lives out there giving opportunity for someone else to destroy us. This is why I chose personally to not be on Facebook anymore. Not because Facebook is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. My wife's on Facebook. We have a church Facebook page. Heck, we're Facebook living right now. Amen. And that's a good thing. There's good things that come out of it. But me personally, I learned that I could not be on Facebook and not run my mouth. I would unduly expose myself constantly because I couldn't stand what other people were saying. Because I would see people saying really ridiculous and stupid things, and I would instantly pounce on it. That was the former Jeff. This is the new Jeff, who doesn't do that anymore because he's been instructed in the Word. It doesn't do us any good to do so. If you get on there and argue back and forth, sometimes, you know, like as the church, we have to address something, and I did. But even in that response, when we had all that attack, I said, I'm going to address this once, and that's where I was going to leave it. You cannot understand the amount of addressing that I wanted to do. You cannot understand the amount of things that I wanted to say, but the Lord reminded me that I am a pastor who is trying to win the lost, and you will not do it by doing that. And folks, you will not win the loss by being a miserable, self-centered, I know it all kind of person. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we need to put these things to practice. Sometimes we won't understand what goes on around us, but we need to put to practice being slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen? We need to trust God, and that's really what it comes down to. Trust God, and He will work it out. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to John 11. We're going to see another thing that Jesus did. You notice I'm focusing on what Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Remember those bracelets? What would Jesus do? Praise the Lord. What would Jesus do? Hallelujah. My brother and I had a saying, my stepdad, he wasn't known to be the best electrician in the world. In fact, we learned at a very young age that everything he did as far as electrical stuff in house does or goes, that you don't do that. Amen. You do the opposite. So me and my brother have this joke, you know, they had the bracelets, the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Bracelets. Well, we were talked about getting the WWWD bracelets, which were the What Would Walt Do bracelets. And that was for mainly for when you were doing electrical work. And basically what the idea, think, well, what would Walt do when he was doing electrical work, and you would do the opposite. Amen. So with Jesus, you do what Jesus did, but with Walt, when it comes to electrician, being an electrician, you do the opposite of what he would do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, glory to God. I don't think he'd be mad at me for saying that now. Amen. He might have back then, but he wouldn't be now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I got to get there myself. John 11. glory to God. But we're focusing on what the Lord would do. Amen. And that's because we have written what he did do. Glory to God. Now, what I'm going to say, what the scriptures I'm about to read, you know, these apply to a lot of things. And as a pastor, I have been taught early on to take and heed this advice that I'm going to give you today. And so some of you may have had situations in your life even that seemed very important, that I need to move on them instantly. And I have chosen not to do that. And the reason, or if it happens in the future, you have your warning now. If you have, if you see why I'm not jumping on something, it's because our Lord didn't jump on something. Amen? And this happened to be a very important thing. Now, it says here in, we're going to read John 11, 1 through 10. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, it wasn't a mistake that God put that in there. The reason this is in here is because the Holy Spirit is pointing to something that is a fact. Here is somebody who followed Jesus closely, somebody who sowed into his ministry, somebody who served him, somebody who loved him, somebody who was faithful to Jesus. Amen? So keep that in mind as we look at this. Amen? Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So now they're going to put a little bit more on it. You remember the one that you love? Remember how close we are? Remember the connection that we have? Remember that, Lord. The one you love is sick. Okay? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved... Don't think that scripture is saying that God created the sickness, because it doesn't say that here, there either. But it said that it is going to turn out for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So it's even saying they weren't just puffing smoke. He actually did love them greatly. He was close with them. Amen. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Listen to this. So he loved him. So now it says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them all. Because of this, or so, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Praise the Lord. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And you are going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. But if he sees the light, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Amen. And we see that because Jesus loved him, he waited. See, Jesus wasn't a knee-jerk reactor. He didn't just do things because there was a need to do it. He followed the Spirit. He got in tune with the Spirit, and he followed what was to be done. Now, Jesus, the thing that Jesus knew, and of course his disciples brought up, is the place where you're going, they're looking to kill you. And so Jesus didn't just say, well, bless God, I'm the Son of God. I can have angels come with me. I can do whatever I want. I have the ultimate faith. I'm just going to walk right on down there and do it because I am faith incarnate. I know what faith is, so I'm going to do it. See, and that's how a lot of people react. A lot of people in our circles, they react with, bless God, we're supposed to have faith, so why aren't we in church? Bless God, we're supposed to have faith, and other people are doing this. Well, I can't speak for other people. But I can speak to what the Lord has shown me. I can speak to the direction that he has shown me, and it's different than what he's shown other people. Praise the Lord. Some people it's the same with, but the one thing that I've learned is that anyone who makes decisions, and especially in ministry, that makes decisions quickly is somebody who loses. There's somebody who always something else comes out, comes up that because the devil's looking for that open door. And that's exactly what was happening here. Jesus didn't need to move because he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that he was going to die. He knew ahead of time because he spent the time with the Lord. But you know that there are times where I've gone to pray for somebody and the Lord has stopped me. There's times where I've gone to act on something and the Lord has stopped me. Praise the Lord. I am not just going to act because somebody wants me to act. I am not going to react because people want me to react. In fact, I got so sure of God in this time period, I said, Lord, I am finally putting it in your hands, the whole thing. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I will go do what I'm called to do. And when I come back, if there ain't nobody there, there ain't nobody there. We'll start over. We'll do whatever there is to do. Amen? You know, the thing is you can't stop a hurricane. My wife and I were talking about this on the last night on our way home from Corey. You know, you can't stop a hurricane. If a hurricane comes, people evacuate. That's what they do. When they evacuate, when they come back, they always come back to see if what they had is still standing. And if it isn't, they either rebuild or they move. They do one of the two. But you can cry and you can whine about it. You can get upset about what's lost. Or you can move on with life, what makes sense to do. Amen? You can do what the Spirit tells you to do. See, the problem with people is they're so quick to react. They're so quick to move on things that they stop following the Lord, they stop following the Spirit, and then they get themselves in trouble, and now they're saying, Lord, bail me out. And there's times where God says, I can't or I won't. Amen. Because you need to, I already tried, or you need to learn a lesson here. Listen, just because God wants us blessed does not mean that he's given us everything. Just because the Word says that we can be full does not mean that God is just going to give us full if we're going to eat like gluttons. You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. If we're gonna trash the house of God, if we're not gonna care about the house of God and just do our own thing, you think that he's going to bless you with that? You think he's gonna give you more? Oh, just look at what's happened. Amen. We need not be people that are that way. But I love here in the end of the scriptures, it says, praise the Lord, where are we here? Verse 10. I'm looking at John 10, 11. I need to get back in chapter 11. Praise the Lord. But I want to go back up to verse 9. It says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Now, Jesus is not talking about physically walking at night. He's using it as a metaphor. He's speaking here of walking in the light. We are the children of the light. That God is a God of light. God is light, and in him there is no shadow or turning no shadow of turning, praise the Lord. There is no darkness in him, praise the Lord. God is light. And so if we are children of the light, we ought to walk in the light. That means the direction of God. That means the things that he would have us do. The problem is when we take on the natural disposition of man and we walk in darkness. And that's exactly what he's saying. He said, if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And that's exactly what is going on so often in the church, is that people just want to make decisions. They look at the decisions we make and they either don't trust it or they just go and do what they want to do anyways. And then they go out there and they stumble. And then they come back and they want you to fix it. They go out there and they do what you said not to do. And then they come back to you and they want you to fix it. And then they get mad at you if you don't. It's just the truth. I've seen it happen time and time again. As a pastor, it's not just as a pastor, but this is a Christians, mothers and fathers, you'll see this too. If you allow your kids to do whatever they want, they will keep going out, they will keep screwing up, and they will keep coming back to you expecting you to fix it. And as many times as you do, you make that child an invalid. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what a pastor does that doesn't take charge in a church and teach people how to do things right and not just accept every. You know, there are some churches that will accept every wrong. I can think of a person in particular. Praise the Lord, who came to this church early on, and this person came, and they had so many issues. They had health issues. They had relationship issues. They had issues with their children. They had issues with their finances. They had issues coming out of every pore in their body. Praise the Lord. They're a perfect person to come to a church like ours. Absolutely. Because we'll teach the word, we teach the truth, and if they hang on to the word, their whole life will change. And so we sat down with this person. I sat down with this person. Me and my wife sat down with this person. For 3 hours, I preached to this person. I stirred. I'm like, this is what you need to do. This will help you here, and this will help you here. And we went down issue one by one and said, this is what you got to do. They didn't listen to any of them. Not one of them. And today, if I were to get on Facebook, the life is the same. It's the same troubles, the same trials. Why is it? Why is it always so bad for me? Why is it always this? Why? Because you didn't do the word. You had the truth presented to you, but you rejected it. That's exactly what people do. They have the truth. Don't go out and fornicate. There's only problems that happen with that. Praise the Lord. People do that, and that's what happens. Don't go out and be an adulterer, because there's only issues that will come as a result. You think that you're getting something when you go out there and cheat on your spouse. You think you're getting something that you don't have, but the reality of the matter is all you're doing is creating a worse problem later on down the line. Amen? People who steal and thieve from people, the same thing. Don't do it. You don't steal from people. You don't rob from people. You don't steal from God. You can come to church and act one way and go out in the world and act totally different. Listen, if that's what you do, you're going to eat the fruit of that. And I'm not quick to go to somebody who doesn't want to listen. I'm not quick to sit there and say, I'm going to give you all this time just so you can continue doing the same thing. Why am I not quick to do so? Because our Lord isn't. And why would I think, or why would you think, or why would I think that I would be any better at doing this than God would be? Praise the Lord. The truth is I wouldn't. And it's not what we're called to do. It is not compassion on people to make them invalids. It's not compassion on people to agree with their sin or to go along with sin and let them do it anyways and then just come by and clean it up afterwards. Somebody's got to put a stop to it. Might as well be you. Praise the Lord. But see, this is what happens when we make decisions out of knee-jerk reactions. There's families that I have poured into. There's families that I have poured into individually, each person and their family. We've poured our own personal finances into them. We've poured time into them. I mean, tons of time. There was one family that doesn't even go to this church anymore, and the kind of part of what I'm talking about, who we get all this time. If there was anybody we worked with, it was this family. And you know what it showed me in the end? Praise the Lord, I was doing it all in vain. Hours would spend in conversations, hours, and like I said, thousands of dollars of our own finances into it, thousands of dollars of the church finances, if you want to look at it over the time, all this time, and not always, it wasn't like it was they made it easy on us. There was hospital visits, and holidays, in the evening, in the middle of the night, they have nothing to do with us anymore. You know why? Because their heart was never right in the first place. And see, what I was doing is I was doing things based, of course, sometimes we do things that we know aren't going to have fruit. But the thing is we can't live most of our life thinking that they're going to have fruit or not can't live the most of our lives doing things that we know are not going to have fruit. Amen. When the Lord directs, we do it. Sometimes as an example, but otherwise we don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with John 17:17. Good scripture. Praise the Lord. John 17:17. Jesus said here, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's real simple. Cleanse them. You cleanse us. What is the cleansing? Sanctifying. It's sanctifying us from our sins. Sins are the reason that bind us. Those are the things that bind us. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. How do we get cleansed from our sins? How do we get cleansed from these things? We get cleansed by the truth. God's word is truth. When we do God's work, we find truth, and we find ourselves set free. But when we don't, we find ourselves bound in the same binding that's always bound us. Amen. So let's be people of the light. Let's not be quick to just do whatever we want to do, but let's make our decisions based in the Spirit. Let's make them on the understanding of the Holy Spirit, and we'll always make decisions that are right. Amen.